Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did you do? What did you do? For the love of... Why, Milt? Why?
No. Shh, 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 shh. Just let it happen, bro. Just let it wash over you.
I'm in audio hell right now.
No. This is good for you, bro. You can thank me later. Okay. This is Fusebox 26.
Can I thank you with a neck punch? Or how about I just hold your head underwater for about 10 minutes?
Shut up. Hey, I lost my place, damn it. Okay. This is Fusebox 267 Mood Poison, and you are basking in vinyl goodness, my unappreciative friend, and well past taking the antidote.
Holy carp. Yeah, I'd say I'm definitely feeling a little green around the gills here, guy.
We need a clean up on aisle four, please. Clean up on aisle four. Oh, man. Things are a mess all over, dude.
That they are, Mr. Gaines. And made just a little worse by your vinyl intrusion here. Hello, Fred.
Well, at least it wasn't an anal intrusion.
Well, bless us all for small favors. Again, hello, friends, and welcome to this edition of Fusebox number 267, Mood Poison. I'm your predigested for maximum bioavailability host, Mark Rose, and right over there, still clearly basking in his vinyl audacity, the grand poobah of the plasma display, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Well, you know, every day I wake up and wonder just what fresh Republican hell is going to donkey punch us today, right? Yeah, so I kind of figured that being of a like mind, you might enjoy a little good old-fashioned audio comfort. So I doctored up our theme music to maybe remind us both of a simpler time. No?
No. Friends, I've talked about this before on the show. No. But look, I get the entire tactile and almost ritualistic grandeur of the vinyl experience. I actually do. I too have extremely fond memories of staring for hours at the album cover art to unlock some unknown mystery lurking within the images, right? Or marveling over the colored vinyl or maybe a picture disc version of some record, if you could ever find them. But that's where it stops for me, okay? The audio quality is not warmer. It's distorted. The EQ curve, as designated by the RIAA, that's the Recording Institute Association of America, is truly based on the laws of physics and the limitations of the medium itself. A piece of plastic with grooves etched into it. The curve is not implemented to accurately capture an audio performance. No. The folks at the recording studio did that already, if that was their intention, only to have it perfectly mangled and mutated in this arcane transfer process. Also true is the fact that as you begin to get into the center grooves of a record, you know, closer to the hole, the frequency response decomposes quickly, becoming a tinny and sometimes warpy mess that is compensated poorly, in my humble opinion, by the invention of this curve. I say again, the reason people love this format is for the tactile and ritualistic enjoyment that it creates. The nostalgia it's embedded with many times, not for audio quality. And one last point, and I promise I will stop. A well-mastered piece of audio will sound fabulous when done with skill. If the mastering or production is crappy, the end result on any platform will sound bad. So this argument about high-resolution audio lacking warmth lies squarely in the hands of the producer and or engineer, not the medium. Anywho, enough about that. But yes, it actually does remind me of simpler times, as I'm sure it does for you, especially back in your DJ days when
it's 10 past the hour here on KRAP Radio FM Provo. And coming at you right now, another top 10 blast from Hall and Oates.
Wow. There it is. That's the golden voice that puts you on the map. What was your stage name back then? Oh, well, that's got to bring back memories for at least two or maybe three people out there, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. I think I might have pulled a muscle. Too much whiskey and cigarettes since then, bro. Kind of miss those days, but kind of don't, you know?
I do indeed. It was definitely a simpler, sometimes weirder time, for sure. And speaking of, yeah, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder out there now, folks, and without a doubt. But, you know, I just can't help feeling that this environment we're all presently forced to endure, well, it just can't last. It's too loopy to hold up for any significant period of time, and certainly not through an entire four-year term.
Dude, I pray to God you're right. Because this crap is getting really old. Pulling people off the streets, imprisoning them in a dank gulag somewhere without due process is plain insane. And, oh, by the way, just undamn constitutional. I don't care what the person did or didn't do. You get your day in court, man.
Dank Gulag. That was your old DJ name, right? Seriously, though, in many cases, these folks actually did nothing wrong.
Well, except for saying something truthful about the MAGA regime's bullshit, no longer seen as being the good guys in white hats club anymore by the rest of the world.
The grifter-in-chief has definitely begun to lose followers at this point. Even the Supreme Court has raised an eyebrow to some of the cases being brought to them from the far Reich. You know, it's a very strange and dangerous time we're in, folks. However, on this edition of the show, friends, we are going to do our most bestest to turn some of this bad news into better news with a segment coming up to give voice to a bunch of things happening around the globe that are actually positive and might even surprise you, too.
Hell, bring it! And in massive doses.
We shall do just that. Also on tap is another wondrous segment of depravity from our buddy 42nd Street Pete. A return to the biker genre, a look at 1970s The Losers, shot in the Philippines, actually. Spectacular.
Ooh, are there glistening women in bamboo cages? Hopefully. Please?
I don't think so, no.
Crap.
Maybe next time. Yeah. So, friends, we'll take a look at some more gloriously uplifting things and stuff going on in this world when we return. So, stay with us if you can't but should.
Unless you won't. How about drugs? There's gotta be drugs in Pete's movie, right? Are there drugs?
Not as such, no.
Mother!
I'm so afraid something will go wrong.
It's finally here. Issue 3 of Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. They said it couldn't be done, and they were almost right. Because of the squeeze being applied to small publishers these days by mega corporations, it's becoming harder and harder to get these magazines printed. Add to that the twitchy algorithm that now looks for sensitive keywords like grindhouse and whatever else is the trigger du jour. But they couldn't stop this one. Banned on Amazon, as the cover proclaims, it's 76 pages crammed edge to edge. There's an interview with the late Gary Kent and his experiences with the Manson family. This one may ring a bell, friends. We know it rang Quentin Tarantino's bell. He turned this story into Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There's so much more. Supplies are limited, so pick up a copy today before they're gone or swallowed up by an algorithm. Find them at 42ndStreetPete.net.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Hello. I'm here to bring you the good news.
So, friends, to offset events going on in our world, we thought it might be therapeutically necessary to shed a little positive light that actually helps to build better lives for people all over the planet Earth. So, let us focus on some good things.
Things, you say?
Well, yes. Yes, I do. Starting with our first item, which reports, despite what the orange guy says about, well, anything regarding alternative energy, solar and wind provide 98% of new U.S. power capacity in a record-breaking quarter. March 2025 marked the 19th consecutive month that solar was the leading new energy source. Combined, renewables are now 31.5% of total U.S. utility-scale capacity, with projections showing solar will likely surpass coal and wind within 2 years to become the second-largest source behind fossil gas. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission says there's as much as 223 gigawatts of solar in the current 3-year pipeline.
Wow. No kidding. In that case, Orange Hitler better squeeze off another one of his executive orders to banish the sun immediately.
Yeah. It goes on. Reporting show right now that actual global solar installations have smashed all projections. This from a tech expert, Nat Bullard. Not much more to say than this technology, consistently underestimated, now adds more capacity to the global grid than anything ever, and will soon add more power in any given year than anything ever as well. And this is not the only positive story regarding solar advancements either. As reported by the Economic Times, Europe has had record-breaking solar output. In some places, all government has actually had to do is get out of the way, as they've done with balcony-positioned solar units in Germany and Spain, and yes, even in Utah, where a bipartisan bill passed back in March, which allows portable solar systems to plug directly into 120-volt outlets.
Utah? No shite. Okay. We're definitely in the upside down now. Utah. Wow.
Then, there's the big new push to electrify Africa, where mini-grids are a huge success in Nigeria, and solar panels are being sold on the side of the streets in Niger. And despite tariffs created out of thin air by a certain complete and total orange-colored maroon, there's plenty more solar panels coming. Solar cell production in China in the first 4 months of this year totaled 239 gigawatts, an 18.8 increase from the same period in 2024. And also related to this energy topic in China, clean energy has pushed China's CO2 emissions into historic reversal. For the first time ever, China's carbon emissions are falling even as power demand grows, marking a major potential turning point in climate action. Wind, solar, and nuclear are now reducing the use of coal, even as electricity needs soar, with emissions declining 1.6% in the first quarter of 2025 and by 1% over the last 12 months. This, of course, is a crucial structural shift, differing from previous declines, which were caused by economic downturns or, as we know, COVID lockdowns.
You know, I think a smelling orange dictator wannabe whipping out his Sharpie.
And this item from Associated Press.
Wait. They aren't allowed in here, are they? Aren't they the commies or pinkos who are refusing to call it the Gulf of America like the Cheeto in Chief has tried to dictate?
Oh, I definitely think they're waving their private parts right in his face. For sure. Yeah, go AP. Anyway, again from the Associated Press, and congrats to them because this was an underreported event, to say the least. Check this out. The Kurdistan Workers' Party has announced it is renouncing armed conflict as part of a new peace initiative with Turkey, ending 4 decades of warfare. The militant group said that the struggle had brought the Kurdish issue to the point of resolution through democratic politics, thus completing its historical mission.
Wait, what? Aren't we all just supposed to keep bombing each other back to the damn Stone Age until there's nothing left but a smoking crater? Well, gosh, this just doesn't seem right at all, bro. I mean, how are all those poor, suffering arms merchants gonna make a living now?
Well, you know, I guess they'll just have to go the OnlyFans route, my sarcastic friend. But wait, there's more from the AP. Colombia has established a pioneering legal framework giving indigenous communities full self-governing authority, including public budgets and administrative power across vast Amazon territories. The new presidential decree culminates a 30-year struggle for autonomy, positioning Colombia ahead of other Latin American nations that typically only grant land titles without governance rights. This is a huge step forward for indigenous people and hopefully will be implemented across the globe. And lastly, despite the recent shooting in Washington, mass shootings in the United States are actually at a 16-year low. There have been only 4 incidents causing 4 or more deaths in the first 4 months of 2025, the lowest count since tracking began in 2006. Public mass shootings have disappeared entirely following a 24% overall decline from 2023 to 2024. And may I just add this extra added bonus and additional extra added feature of extra addedness? If you're a Netflix subscriber, yeah, please do yourself a wondrously delightful favor and check out a documentary called Pangolin, Kulu's Journey. And no, I'm not kidding. Friends, if you followed our show for any length of time, you know I'm a huge fan of these critters called pangolins, a sort of cousin of the armadillo, but so very, very much older, if not far, far less cuddly. That's right, Sparky. I for one, would love this gig. This is awesome. The one gentleman named Gareth Thomas, a former poker player turned volunteer pangolin walker, seems to have fallen into. Now, pangolins are a critter that goes back, according to the folks who know about such things, goes back to about 85 million years. And they've been pretty much unchanged in their design for that long. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Anyway, this chap, Thomas, has this gig at a pangolin survival center, which is basically a group of fine folks whose ambitious aim is to replenish the population of these little critters back to a level beyond the risk of extinction, which, as they stated numerous times in this documentary, could happen in as little as 20 years. For Thomas, watching over Kulu is a round-the-clock obsession for him. Leading the animal to the tastiest anthill, braving predators to sleep outside Kulu's burrow, or just cuddling and playing. Thomas isn't joking around, either, when he describes himself as a helicopter parent. Beautifully photographed and edited, and unabashedly sentimental, patiently and meticulously directed by the director of the 2020 documentary, My Octopus Teacher, which coincidentally also revolved around a cross-species love connection. This thing is extremely informative, and believe me, not at all heavy-handed in the warnings, although the filmmakers would have due cause to do just that, in my opinion. Bits of narration by the ant specialist Dr. Caswell Munyai tells us that the pangolin is believed by some African people to possess mystical powers. Observing Kulu's ability to entrance his protector makes that seem all too believable. Legend has it that the pangolin calls the thunder and the rain, as it states in the documentary. And let me tell you this, there is one scene in this film, and you'll know it when you see it, that is so unbelievably touching and above and beyond the normal connections between humans and animals, a depth of understanding that Kulu shows to Thomas, it's just show-stopping. Anyway, highly recommended for these times of despair, friends. Pangolin, Kulu's Journey, now on Netflix. Alrighty, friends. Are you ready for some biker business?
Did we decide if this film has glistening women in bamboo cages?
I do believe we cleared up that mystery just a wee bit ago. No, sir. It does not have glistening women in bamboo cages. I'm afraid. No, sorry.
Boring!
42nd Street Pete revisits the biker genre with this review of The Losers from the dark, damp, and perhaps dank decade of the 70s.
Here come the losers. Killers by instinct, mercenaries by profession.
Chet Davis is in one of these three huts. We don't know which one. There's two small trails leading into here. That's why you need the bikes.
Speed's all you got going for you.
The bread, man.
I'm a full-blooded American boy, Captain.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Let's go back to the bikers. This is a really interesting one because it's The Losers from 1970. And all the ads in the TV guide and on paper said the Hell's Angels go to Vietnam after they're trained by the CIA. Well, there was no Hell's Angels there, but I guess it was good marketing. They're actually the Devil's Advocates, and they're William Smith, Paul Coslow, Houston Savage, Eugene Cornelius, and I believe Adam Rourke and Bernie Hamilton as the commander. And these guys were all there before, so they're coming back, and they have to rescue this CIA presidential aide that's being held in Cambodia, who basically put the William Smith character away for 5 years. So they're not too happy about this, but they're going to do it. So one guy has a piece of a whorehouse out there. Adam Rourke has a girlfriend he hooks up with, and there's your first sad case is they try to get away from the whole thing, and the Viet Cong blow them up and kill them. So now there's four left. So they go on this rescue thing with all these tricked out bikes and things like that, and try to get the CIA guy out, and Dirty Denny is killed first, and then William Smith and Paul Coslow and Cornelius are put in this prison with the CIA guy who Smith tries to beat up, and they finally try to escape,
And there's a whole clusterfuck where all the bikers are killed. And the CIA guy goes, well, I got to go to Washington now and straighten this shit out. And it's a complete 70s downbeat ending. But again, there's a backstory. Because when some guys are filming in the Philippines, sometimes they're invited to dinner with the heads of state. So they had a dinner for the cast of The Losers. Well, Houston Savage proceeded to get shit-faced drunk and call his hosts a bunch of fucking gooks. Well, William Smith saw that they were getting him up and taking him out a side door. Smith followed them only to find out that they had Houston on his knees and a guy behind him ready to blow his brains out. So William Smith intervened and basically saved his life. Not for long, though, because that was the only thing Houston ever did. He did one other film and then got killed in a motorcycle accident at age 32. This is available also. It's on Tubi, I think. So it's definitely worth checking out. And, you know, William Smith went over there. He did that. And he did another film called Taste of Hell, which I could get into before. But of course, in any Filipino film, you have Vic Diaz there as a mechanic because it says in the Filipino Handbook of Motion Picture Making, Vic Diaz has to be in every fucking film. That's our Grindhouse Minute for today.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Bro, I could have sworn you said that there were glistening women in bamboo cages in this one.
Seriously, I fear you might be a tad obsessed, Mr. Kane.
Say that like it's a bad thing.
Big sweaty thanks to 42nd Street Pete for yet another grimy glimpse into the grindhouse era. Next time, Pete sets his sights on a true classic in the, how should I put it, gut muncher category? 1980s infamous non-jungle cannibal film, Cannibal Apocalypse. Hmm? Good, huh? Hmm?
I'll be hiding under my bed. Thanks.
Well, on that fetal and sobbing note, we'll go ahead and call it a show, but as always, not before thanking our contributors to this, the 267th edition of Fusebox, for true excellence in auditory enhancements, Aaron Lane and 42nd Street Pete. Thanks as well to the human antidote for complacency and technical and co-producery kind of stuff and such like that there, the angel of audio, his very own self, Mr. Milt Keynes.
And a heavenly slice it was.
I saw what you did there.
Huh? I did something?
You did.
Huh. I guess. Oh, yeah, I did do something there, didn't I?
Obviously, you are just way too clever for your own good.
Yeah, who knew? Anyway, hey, folks, have you heard the good news about the Fusebox Patreon page? You can lurch and stagger right over to
patreon.com/thefusebox show
and sign up to become a member and get some free swag and early show releases. Oh, and be sure to enter the Send Elon Sucks and Adolf Trump One-Way SpaceX Rocket Ship Straight to Uranus contest.
Ooh, can I enter?
Assuming you mean the contest and not Uranus. Fusebox employees are strictly forbidden to enter unless you buy official Fusebox meme coins. Then, let me see what I can do for you, because, you know, I know a guy who knows a guy.
Perfect. Friends, also head on over to the Fusebox store located on our website at thefuseboxshow.com and just click the shopping tab and get yourself some cooler than the other side of the pillow Fusebox swag and help us continue doing whatever the hell it is we do here.
While you're at it, check out the Fusebox YouTube channel, too. There are video versions of the show that have secret embedded images and all sorts of stuff to make it totally bitchin' to your ears. Apply to infected area only.
As always, the links are in the show notes, friends. Thanks, as always, for pushing play, as we do so appreciate the valuable time our listeners spend with us.
Yeah, all two of them. Oh, and we promise we won't deport you to Utah or Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. Well, I have been your... Wait, hold on. Oh, hi, Eco. Is soccer a sport?
No. The answer is no.
Well, there you go. There you go. And with that bit of unexpected weirdness, I have been your out of sight, out of mind, but in the groove host, Mark Rose, saying until our next cartoon.
Saw what you did there. Final rules.
Let's talk about that.
And soccer's definitely not a sport.